So nice to see each of you today. No better place to be on the Lord's Day than in church. When that day comes and you stand before the Lord, He's going to open the book. You heard the books are going to be open right on that day. And it's an attendance book. And whether or not you make it into heaven is how well you did for church attendance. So you want to be careful. I'm just telling you, thank you. God bless you for that. But anyways, I'm preaching to the choir because you're all here this morning, but I do believe church attendance is important. Okay, here we are. And I'd like you to hang tough with me for a moment as we begin to finish up this series on, remember, you should have it by now, right? To grow or not to grow, right? To grow or not to grow is what? Always the question. Always the question, to grow or not to grow. And so we want to hang tough there, and today we'll be putting on the last push in this series of messages where we've been considering how it is that God specifically has designed growth moments in every one of our lives. And we've looked at different passages of scriptures. We've kind of approached this from various angles and what those, you know, what it looks like. What are the components that go into our growing up? Remember the commercial for Cheez-Its, is it? Yeah, the commercial for Cheez-Its, right? And you got the big block of cheese there. And the inspector comes, right, to talk to the big block of cheese. And he's nothing but nasty and rude and crude. And he puts the, X mark instead of a check. You're not ready yet. Comes back after a while where the thing is aged and matured a little bit more. And he's courteous and speaks well and so on. Gives him a check mark. Ah, you're ready. And so it is with us. You know, God is working in our lives to help us to grow up in Christ. And so I want to put the last push, if you will, on that. And it reminds me of a story of a guy, he and his wife. It was quite late at night, and you know, they're in bed sleeping, and we'll call him Bobby. Guy sleeping, and just for ha-has, you know, and he rolls over and he hears a knock on the door, rolls over, looks at the clock. It's 3:00 in the morning. Who in the heck is that? Can that be? I'm not gonna get up, 3:00 in the morning. This is craziness. The knock gets louder, and his wife says, "Aren't you gonna go answer that?" Well, just for ha-has, we'll call the wife Allison. Aren't you going to go answer that? And drags himself out of bed, goes downstairs, and there's this guy standing at the door. We'll call him Bill. Just call him Billy, just for ha-has, you know. And he's standing there, and it didn't take the homeowner long to realize that. It didn't take Bobby long to realize that Billy was drunk out of his mind. Smell it coming through. And he says, hey, opens the door, hey, hi there, in a drunken stupor. And he says, "Can you give me a push?" And and Bobby says, "Are you kidding me? Get lost." He says, "It's 3:00 in the morning. Give you a push. You're nuts." So he goes back to bed. And his wife says, what's going on? He says, "Oh, there was some drunk guy down there, and he wanted a push." He said, "Well, what happened?" He said, I told him to get lost. And his wife is quiet for a moment and finally says, "Are you kidding me? Don't you remember here just a little while ago we broke down on the side of the road as we were on our way to some, pick up the kids, and somebody stopped and helped us and said, aren't you going to return the favor?" So his conscience was getting the best of him, and he thought, well, let me, okay, get dressed. Runs out and tries to flag down the guy. And it's pitch black, and he can't seem to find him. So he, hollering for him, hey, mister. He says, where are you? You know, you still need it. What's going on? You still want to push? And he says, he hears this voice, faint voice off in the distance of the way. He says, yeah. He says, please. He says, I need to push. And he says, where are you? I can't find you. He says, I'm over here on your swing set.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? And so if we want to give another little push to this message of to grow or not to grow is always the question, because it's very important. It's one of those things that the Bible has a lot to say from cover to cover about how you're growing. How you growing? It's a part of life as we have been talking about. And in fact, we'll say that God has a lifelong growth plan tailor-made for your life and for mine. Say it with me. It's my destiny to grow. Ready? It's my destiny to grow. And so we really need to let that sink in to who we are, to who you are. And that's exciting. That's an exciting thing. You know, that God has a growth plan for my life. And of course, the trick is to not only come to terms with that, but the trick is to navigate that. To how it is, where it is that God wants to bring me. In that he has a growth plan for your life, there are things that are common to all of us. And how it is that, I need to grow. How it is that I need to grow up. But there are very, as I mentioned in that statement, but there is a tailor-made growth plan for me. My circumstances, my situations, are different than yours, and how it is that I'm going to grow through something is going to be look differently than how you're going to grow through something, and what it is that God is after in me growing, you growing, it's going to look different. But the key is that we're growing. So we've been talking about these things, and last week we spoke about the concept or a phrase that Eugene Peterson talks about and others, where we call it this growth plan that God has us on, we call it spiritual formation. Remember that? Spiritual formation. And what we mean by that is God is working in my life, forming, doing something. You know, it isn't just an external thing, but an internal thing going on within me. That God is molding and changing and working there, and he's working off a pattern. You know, I've never used one, and I hope never to. But I remember Sandra used to make the kids dresses when they were little, and buy those, patterns, right? And there they were, you'd fold it out and you'd cut, if you cut everything and followed all the directions, you got what it looked like on the picture. Well, God has a pattern. That pattern is Jesus Christ. And so it's like you're growing not to look like or not to be like Bob, But amen. But you're growing to look like Jesus. And we mean something by that. That God wants me to be like Christ. That's the pattern he's using. And this is what we mean by spiritual formation. Now that's big. That's huge. And then we looked at C.S. Lewis. And we said that Lewis was talking about that great work that God is doing in our lives. And all the things that God uses in my life. And how it is that, we sometimes get frustrated, or we don't engage in that. And he says it's because we don't have the slightest notion sometimes of the tremendous thing that God is doing in our lives. And I just like that. And this is what each one of us has to hear this morning. And that is that to see that God is working in your life and he's working in my life to accomplish something tremendous that he means to make of you and of me. So however it is that your life, whatever it is that makes up your life, you know, where you work, your friends, your connections, what it is that you do, who you are when no one else is watching, who you are when you're alone. All of that and more besides, God is working in our lives, and he means to make of us something tremendous. He means to make of you something tremendous. It doesn't depend on education. It doesn't depend upon money. It doesn't depend on which side of the tracks or which side of town you were born on. It depends, and this is what I want to speak about today, it depends upon this thing right here. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you have a Bible or on your device, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is what it depends on right here. This is what I want to speak about today. This is what I want to bother you with today. This is the push. This is the push that I want to give to us today. All right? Hey, I'm over here on the swing set. Come on over. What a stupid guy, huh? That's a drunk for you. And so, you see, you know what the moral of that story is? He should have never listened to his wife. See, there we have it. There you have it. All right, there you have it. So, listen, are you with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And this is what I want to underline in this last push, hopefully in the right direction of growing. Of becoming spiritually formed into that image of Christ and what God has destined for you and me to be. That tremendous thing he means to make of us. That before you were born, God had in mind what he meant for you to be. That's awesome. Now, that takes growth. And here's what we're after today. As I said, this is what I want to bother you with today, okay? And I really hope to bother you to the point of being annoying about it. I have that gift.
No problem.
I know, thank you.
No,
I have that gift. You know, some people have the anointing. I have the annoying.
Here, amen.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I've held so long on this whole idea of growing. And here in 2 Corinthians, if you'll look with me, I want to start reading at let's just say 17, verse 17. 3:17, okay? Listen up. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit." Now, so we know that God is Spirit. God is Spirit. Now, when we say that, we don't mean phantom. We don't mean cartoon. We don't mean just some kind of imaginative figure. But no, this is the reality of which God, by which God exists. Spirit. Meaning that he's invisible. It doesn't mean that he's not real. He's real spirit. And it calls him the Lord. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. Spirit. And he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, in the context, that freedom means something. But to look at it in this way, this is what God is after in the growth plan that he has for your life and for mine. Freedom. 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 And I'm not talking Mel Gibson. So right? Braveheart, if you didn't catch it. But anyways, freedom. And the whole idea that God, by his Spirit, bringing freedom into my life is directly connected to how well you and I fare in growing up in Christ. Freedom is connected to that. Freedom. And so he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, see, where the Spirit of the Lord is at work, there is what? Freedom. Now watch now. He's taking us somewhere. You got to stay with me in this. All right? He says in verse, he continues now verse 18. Here it is. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. And again, in the context, he's talking about under the old covenant, how the glory of God was something that they could not have immediate face-to-face contact with. But now he says that that's done away with, and we now are able to have that kind of awareness of God. And the thing about it is that you know, it's like, you know, I love the sun. I really do. I could be that guy on the beach, just soaking it in, not worrying about skin cancer, just darkening up. You know what I'm saying? I just love the sun. And here's the deal: you stay in the sun long enough, you reflect. You right? Your skin eventually will reflect that you have been in the sun, right? That's the kind of thing he's saying here. That there is this relationship with God, this relationship with the Holy Spirit, that we come in contact with, that something of him so touches your life and mine that we begin to reflect that. We begin to reflect it. All right? I remember when I used to drive school bus a lot of years ago, part-time job. It was a great part-time job when the church was small where I was pastoring. And I can remember sitting there, and the kids would get on the bus, you know, and as they'd walk by, oh, yeah, they had bacon this morning. You know, I could tell. I could tell you what they had for breakfast as they walked by. Because the atmosphere of the kitchen, whatever it's called, you know, got into their clothes and on them, and it's like, you know, when I get home, I'm having bacon, you know, type of deal. That's the idea here. That there is this whole connection of growing that we take on the atmosphere of what we give ourselves to. Okay? What we give ourselves to. In whose presence we are. And he goes on to say, we're getting to my main point, are being transformed into his likeness. You see that? Oh, you got to underline that. Are being what? Transformed. Are being changed into his likeness. Changed. I think, isn't that what the word the King James uses? Changed? Yeah, it is. Transformed. Transformation. You see? And so this whole contact with God, this whole growing thing, this whole Holy Spirit thing in my life is that what he's endeavoring to do is transform your life in mine, to change me, to change my life. And he says what's happening now is that you are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so here it is. This is what I want to fiddle with in our moments together, okay? Here it is. You ready? That plan, that detailed plan, that lifelong, did I say that? Lifelong growth plan that God has for you? Lifelong growth plan. Just needs to be emphasized for a moment, lifelong. In other words, no one comes to the point where they say, I'm all grown up. Now, it just never does that happen. I'm all grown up, you know. God has completed in my life, you know, what he has intended, I'm there. No one can say that. I remember years ago, and I was just talking to the daughter of Jack Sisler, who has died, a guy in his 90s, was missionary several different places around the world, and a man of God who is second to none, incredible guy. And I remember him saying, and he was in his 80s at this time, and he came to a church I was pastoring, to a pastor's meeting, and he said, the thing that has kept me fresh, I'm not going to say he's in his 80s, as vibrant as ever. He said, the thing that has kept me fresh all these years in my walk with God and growing up in God is that whatever God is doing, I'm in on it. See, I'm in on it. And growth stops happening when we get stuck. And we talked about that. You know, we talked about that. And so this lifelong growth plan that God has for our lives happens from now until till the time that he takes us, and we can only hope that we've taken full advantage of it. Yeah. Lifelong. Now, what that also means is it pinpoints the adventuresome nature of walking with Jesus, of growing. There is no greater adventure. I don't care, you know, what kind of thing goes on in you that fuels your life is to say, man, this is really cool, you know, as far as adventure goes. But there's no adventure like engaging in that lifelong growing that God has destined for your life and mine. There's no adventure like it. None. That spiritual formation that's taken place in your life and in mine, there's no adventure like it. I don't care. What is it, you know, that gives you whatever? So that's just to say that. And that plan, that lifelong plan that God has, the details of it, here it is. You ready? The details of it is under the direct supervision of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine. And so we want to say some things about that this morning. Want to say some things about the fact that in coming to Christ, what God has done in my life and in yours is that he has, you know, committed me to the supervision of the, or the custody, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. You know, like Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. That's what he says. And he says, you're the temple of the what? Holy Spirit. So this is what he says, that my body, some of your temples, I'm telling you, they need a little, some projects need to happen, but at the same time, we have to see that God has remanded me, if you will, you know, that court term, and has committed me to the custody for the Holy Spirit to do a work in my life in helping me and helping you to grow. And so that commitment of the actual committal part to the Holy Spirit, and that commitment on God's part, that he says to me, Rulowitz, you know what? I bought you with a price, precious blood of Jesus. You're mine now. And I am committed to helping you grow up. I'm committed to working in your life to come into everything that I have destined for you to be and to become. And here's the gift of my Holy Spirit. This is how committed I am to you. I am that committed to you that I am given to you the gift of the Holy Spirit, not merely to be with you, that you have a sense of God's presence about you, but I am given to you the gift of the Holy Spirit to be in you. That's right, in you. It isn't just God all over me, that stupid song we used to sing, but it's God inside of me and in you, so that he considers me his inheritance, his property, because he's made a deposit of himself in my life. God in me. See, God in me. Christ is in my life. Now that's big. So that's big. So, and the thing is, here's the thing about that commitment on his part. The thing about that commitment is that it's backed by all the resources of heaven, the power of God, to change my life and yours. That's what he's after. You see, God says, you know what? He says, okay, I've come into your life. And when he comes into your into my life, he says, wow, what a mess. And I said, well, hey, you know, I want to thank you, God. He says, oh, don't worry. See, this is the thing about God. He's comfortable in the mess of my life. You know what that's called? Grace. Grace. He says, though I'm comfortable by grace in the mess of your life, I'm not going to leave you like this. Wow. He says, and as he comes, in fact, this is what he says. He says, okay, so we're going to live together forever. It's called what? Heaven. We're going to live together forever in heaven. He says, now, he looks at me, and he says, and he looks at himself, and he says, if that's going to happen, one of us has to change. One of us is going to have to change. And I'm like, well, let's see. I wonder who that can be, you know? And he says, that's right. He says, I'm committed to cleaning up the mess in your life. And I have given to you the Holy Spirit deposited in your life to work on the mess in your life. Wow, what a wonderful thing. Now, how does that change work in our lives? We're going to get to it quickly here, then we're going to pray together, okay? How does that change work in your life and in mine? Let me mention a couple of things. Here's where the change begins. It begins by being born again by the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing. Remember Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a guy, I love this, because Nicodemus is a guy who ought to have understood what it means to know God. And yet, he was as far from it as the worst person in the world. He didn't have a clue. And Jesus said to him, you must be what? You must be what? You must be what? Born again. So this whole thing starts by a radical change in your life of being born again. And it is a rebirth. It is a new birth. So that a person who is not just this mental assent, it is not just this idea, it is not just this some kind of religious feeling that I have an awareness of God. But being born again means that the Spirit, by the Spirit of God, you must be born again. How does this happen? Jesus says to Nicodemus, the Spirit of God comes into your life and recreates you, brings you to life where your spirit is dead. How can you be spiritually formed if your spirit is dead? But when you come alive in Christ, your spirit comes alive, your inner person comes alive, and now you're reconnected to God. That's the recreation. You're born again. You're born again. So that it's not merely the better you. You know, the better you. The country singer sings about being born again because he's a better him or a better her. Shut up. No, It is not the new and improved you. Boy, I'm going to be, better now. I'm going to do things differently. The new and improved me. No, it doesn't work that way. It is the born again you. And the born again you happens by how? Inviting Jesus into your life, right? Jesus, come into my life. God, make me your son. Make me your daughter. The women would say that, right? Make me your daughter. And he comes in, and there is a miracle, a spiritual awakening that happens in a person's life. When that happened to me, as I said, immediately, wow, God's real. See? You must be born again, and you're born again by the Holy Spirit. And then immediately after being born again, what happens to you? What's the next step? You're baptized in water. Right? You're baptized in water. I have here my certificate of baptism. And it's dated. It's dated. Certificate of baptism. This certifies that Robert Rulowitz was by me baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost on the 30th day of July in the year of our Lord, 1972. That was a good year, 1972. Yep. At the Herkimer Pentecostal Church, Herkimer, New York, Reverend Paul Smith. Here it is. And so you say, well, yes, this certificate of baptism means something to me. So I was baptized in water. And what that means is that I have a history, a spiritual history, that something stopped on that day that I was baptized in water, and something began on that day that I was baptized in water. The old, going down into the waters of baptism, was what? Buried with Christ. And when I came up out of the water. What? Oh, man. A new creation. Reminds me of the story of the baptism that was taking place down at the river. And as they were baptizing this one and that one, saw this guy happened to be walking by, stumbling. He was drunk. And so they started to witness to him. Hey, brother, do you want to find Jesus? You want to find Jesus? They start. And so the preacher's in the water. Hey, you want to find Jesus? And so they usher him down to the waters of baptism, and he's in there, and the preacher grabs a hold of him and says, are you ready to find Jesus? You want to find Jesus? The drunk guy, yes, I want to find Jesus. And he dunks him under the water. He brings him back up, and he says to him, he says, well, there, Mr. He says, did you find Jesus? He says, he's stumbling. He says, well, I better put you under again then. Puts him under again, comes up, same thing. He puts him under again, holds him under longer. This time he comes up spitting water out. He's choking, and he looks at the preacher and he says, are you sure this is where you lost him, preacher? I know. You got to find Jesus, But baptism, how important is it? Be baptized. So if that change is going to happen in your life, are you born again? Have you been born again? Have you been baptized in water? Here's the next one. You ready? We're going through these quickly now. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. There is a baptism in the Holy Spirit. You see, we're talking about that your lifelong growth program is under the auspices, the custody of the Holy Spirit. Do you know who the Holy Spirit is? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you received, since you have believed, have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Have you've repented, you say, of your sins. You've given your life to Christ. Into your life now, has there been a baptism in the Holy Spirit? Where you know of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, working in your life. And you know the dimensions of that giftedness, which first of all is he brings to us an understanding of the Christian life that we're walking in. So the Holy Spirit informs us of God. And that the Holy Spirit gives to us this dimension of life, this dimension of Christian life, that I realize that, you know what, it's not up to me. Once again, this, you know, Christianity is not a self-help program. It's a Spirit-led program. It's a Spirit-help program. The gift of the Holy Spirit, so that He works in my life and He works in so many different dimensions that it is a gift that's given to me. This is what He is called, the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Scripture, this is what He's called. And this gift is given to me so that now when I stand to worship, I have this overwhelming sense of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, because this is one of His primary works in my life, to worship God. And His Spirit is moving in my life. Have you felt that before? And this whole thing of speaking in other tongues, it's a tremendous gift. I speak in tongues a lot. I worship in tongues a lot. It is a prayer gift that comes with the gift, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that strengthens my walk with Him, that enhances my growth with God. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. Here's the next one. How does the change happen? There is this work of the Holy Spirit that takes place to break you and to break me. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, He's after breaking us. What do I mean by that? You see, we are bent on going our own way. Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right for us to walk in, but the end of what seems right to us to walk in, you know what it says it is? Who knows? Death. Death. And we are all bent on walking in this direction of being self-led, you see, of thinking that I'm protecting my freedoms. It's my will. It's my life. It's my way. And those are my freedoms, not realizing that each one of those things is bondage. It's bondage. It's not freedom. God made you, God made me to go in His way, to live by His way. Anything other than that is going the wrong way. It's bondage. It's not freedom. It's slavery. Just try stopping a bad habit you have. Let me know how you make out with that. Right or wrong? It's incredible. It's tough. Try stopping the addiction. Try whatever. You know, and this is where you talk about being reformed and all this other stuff. It's just, you know, without Christ, bringing a change in your life is just accepting another bad habit or another addiction, no matter how well you dress it up, for the one you're trying to give up. And He breaks us. The Holy Spirit says, no, I want to lead you. Even as it says, Paul says in Romans 8, those are the sons of God, those are the daughters of God, you're a child of God if you're what? Led by the Spirit. Led by His Spirit. And so there's a breaking that goes on. And the breaking is like this, that He wants to break me. You know, you think of how it is that a horse is broken, right? That wild, you know, that wild steed out there, you know, it's full of, you know, vim and vigor. And I won't say and vinegar, but you understand what I'm saying, right? And that thing, and then why they bring out the bridle, bring out the saddle. And what? It's endeavoring to do to break that animal, you see. And the whole thing with us and God is that you see, the breaking is not to suppress my life. The breaking is not to control my life. The breaking is not that God is this some kind of dictator who wants to master my life. No, he wants me to live up to the destiny that He has made for you and for me to live in. That's freedom. That's freedom. And so the Holy Spirit's at work in my life. This is the kind of change He's wanting to bring about. And then the last one is this, that the change, how does it work? God is backing everything that's going on in my life by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants to back up everything he is doing in my life by the power of his Holy Spirit. So he says to me, Rulowitz, I'm going to change your life. And I say, oh, God, you got a big chore on your hands. I don't know. This is major. And then you look at situations, you look at circumstances, you look at stuff in your own life, and you say, wow, I don't know. Well, let me tell you what I do know. His commitment to you and to me to bring us into all that he has to bring us into is backed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have to understand this, that our religion is not an empty religion. We have to understand that the kingdom of God in the gospel that we proclaim, that we talk about, that we understand, is not empty. It is the very power of God. Jesus, or Paul himself says that the gospel is what? The power of God unto salvation. How is it? By preaching that gospel, people come under conviction and give their lives to Christ. No arms twisted, you understand? No gun pointed to somebody's head. Either convert or we kill you, right? Like certain religions do. Or have to come up with all of this kinds of ceremony, all these kinds of traditions to try and hold people to the religion. No, our religion is empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul in another place says, the kingdom of God is not in words only, but in what? Power. Power. And so it's backed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that given to me is a power to live like it. See? I've been given a power to live like it. And I don't care what we're faced with. I've been given a power to live like it. I can't do it. No, we can do it. I can do all things. And here's the last thing I want to say about this power. This is big. It's power. It's power of God. That I have this and you have this power in your life that's given to us, ready? To serve. The power to serve. And you know that takes a power, doesn't it? It takes the power of God, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to serve. But this work of the Holy Spirit is in me, and God made me not to live for myself, right? But to live for him and to live for other people. And to live for other people means what? I have to serve. I'm anointed to serve. The power of God's at work in my life to serve. Wow, that's big. God, what do you have for my life? God, how can I serve you? And we have to see that this is a part of the destiny. You cannot be who you are unless you find that place of what you are in serving. Period. It's impossible. You cannot function. You will not grow. You cannot grow if it's me, myself, and I. You cannot grow. Growth happens as there is this power within us that is channeled into this capacity, this activity, this awareness of Where is it that I can serve? Where is it that I can serve? And the power of the Holy Spirit matches us where he calls us to serve. That's big. That's big. And so I submit these things to you in this last push. Hey, I'm over here on the swing set. How stupid is that? But this last push, you know, to say to us that I've been committed to the custody of the Holy Spirit, and so have you. That your growth, the growth plan that God has for your life and for mine, has been committed to, has been given to the oversight of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not just that, well, I put these things together so that I can grow. And there are those things that we do. But it's also, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? What are you doing? What does this born-again thing mean? What does this baptism in the Holy Spirit, what does this brokenness that you want to bring into my life mean? What is this backing that you have for my life by the power of God? What is it, Holy Spirit? He says, oh, I'm glad you asked because I want to help you to grow. So, let's pray. If you don't have one of these, I'll help you get one. I'll help you find Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Do you have a growth plan? Lifelong growth plan? You have a lifelong growth plan? Let's stand together and pray, okay? Come on. Jesus, help us. Holy Spirit. And as we pray right now, just take a couple of minutes as we pray. Could you put on some music, Mel, maybe? Just as we pray. And here's the prayer that I want us to pray together, okay, that I'm going to be leading us in praying. And the prayer is a prayer of invitation. Well, of course, if you're here and you're not born again, we'll pray for you to be born again. You mean you can pray a person born again? Absolutely, you can pray a person born again. Absolutely. And I'll say you must be born again if you're not. But we'll pray. We want to pray. The invitation is, of course, to invite Jesus in. But to invite the Holy Spirit to say, God, I receive that gift of the Holy Spirit into my life. You say, well, I've done that already. Well, there is this such a thing as being filled again, and being filled again, and being filled again. It's a continual filling. But there is the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And like any gift, it comes by receiving it. And just to allow Him to come. God gives us no magic wands. You know, just wave the presto changeo. You know, you didn't have the money, now you have the money. You know, you got cancer, wave the magic wand, now you don't have cancer. You got a difficulty situation in your life, wave the magic wand, now you know. Sometimes we use in Jesus' name that way, don't we? In Jesus' name. We think, wave it like a magic wand. But having said that, there is a power in God that changes our lives, that heals broken lives, that heals cancer, that miraculously supplies where provision is lacking. The power of God. If we don't believe in that, let's quit right now. I'm done if there isn't the power of God. I'm done. We're all done. We're all done in if there is no power of God. If there isn't that Holy Spirit that changes the direction of my life from going the wrong way to the right way, oh man. And so as we pray, I want to pray a prayer of invitation. And it's simple. Holy Spirit, I receive you. Is this gift in my life that that you would carry me along in the growth plan that you have for my life. And so on your part and on mine, it's meeting God where he wants to meet you. Let me say that again. As we pray right now, it's you coming to the place where you're going to say, God, I want to meet you right now where you want to meet me. See? Does that make sense? I'm not angry. Forgive me if I come across sounding angry. I'm not angry this morning. But I need this in my life as well. So, Father, in Jesus' name, God, as we're here before you, I need you. Lord, and as we're growing and how it is that you want to transform our lives, you've given to us the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. And we invite you to come right now. Lord, by saying that I open my heart to you, I want to meet you where you want to meet me, God. I surrender. I open my heart. I want to know the freedom that only you can bring into my life, God. So, Lord, come by your Holy Spirit, not only into this place, God, but into our lives, into our hearts. Lord, and I pray for a baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives this morning that would awaken us, reawaken us, God, to your heart, to your purposes, to all that you have for us in Christ, to that tremendous thing that you mean to make of us, God. Awaken me to that, God. Oh, God. Come, Lord Jesus, come by your Spirit. And so, Lord, I commit this people and I commit this word to you. And I pray, God, that something of this, God, when we leave here, that it would not be stolen away, that it would be well rooted and it would take root and produce fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, come on. If you want to talk to me, I'll hang around here. If you need prayer, I will hang around here for a few minutes. But listen, God bless you guys. Don't rush right out. Be sure and talk to somebody before you leave.